Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table,
a new United Methodist community of faith taking shape at Central UMC in Sacramento, California.
The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu,
with a musical introduction by Anthony Coleman, our director of music.
Thanks for listening.
Chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Was on a cold December day when Joseph carried Mary away to a place for the Savior to be born.
My mama told me something when I was growing up that has forever changed my life. She played the piano at our little church at 3rd and Pine Street for 37 years. She tried to teach me to play the piano, but I wasn't very good. She would teach me the names of the notes, what a major key is, what a minor key is. She tried to teach me musical theory, but I was just bored. Then, one day, she told me that the best news in the world is found by playing a simple scale on the piano. I had no idea what she meant, so she told me to play an 8-note scale. So I did. I said, "How is that good news?" And she said I played it incorrectly and that I needed to play it the other way. So I did. Again, I said, "How is that good news?" And she said, "I played it the right way, but I needed to add the pauses." "The pauses?" She said, "The pauses. Add them on the first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note." Now, I was frustrated and said, "How can 8 notes with random pauses be the best news in the world?" Then I got up, walked away, and went outside. Frankly, I didn't care what she was talking about. I didn't like playing the piano anyway. Well, years later, my mama got sick and passed away. As I was thinking about her, I remembered what she told me about the piano. Not only that, I still remember the notes she told me to pause. The first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note. So I sat down at her piano and played the scale with the pauses. And that's when I realized the good news she was talking about.
The best news in the world is found playing a simple scale on the piano. So I just wanted to hear that simple scale one more time. I'm glad he's playing that because I don't even think I could do that part of it. So often though, we're playing the scale. If you're anything like me, you're playing the scale, but we're playing it in reverse when really it was meant to sound like this. And how many of us know all too well, especially tonight, we liked it Christmas, beautiful, candles, but who hasn't been rushing around? Who didn't worry about, were we going to make it on time? Were we going to be here okay? Were we all going to be in this space? If you did that, you could help me with my calendar. You could help me figure out how to put some of those pauses in life, because so often I forget to breathe and I just keep going and going and going and I rush. And in doing that, when we forget to sprinkle the pauses, what could have been this goes too fast. And it's not enough to just have one pause. That's about all I can muster most of the time. I kind of celebrate that when I get to the one pause, actually. But in this case, we're reminded that we have to sprinkle the pauses throughout, as we heard. And it sounds like this. The first and the second, the fourth and the sixth, and the last notes. The best news in the world, played by a simple scale on a piano. And I'll confess, I had to look this up. I could have asked one of you guys, but I looked it up. A musical scale is a series of notes differing in pitch. It's true, I had to look this up. A musical scale is a series of notes differing in pitch according to a specific scheme, usually within an octave. It's ordered. And I think I like scales because I like order. I like structure. I like to know things are how things are going to work in those ways. And my guess is that music gives us that. The scale gives us that order, the structure. But we all know that structure can be freeing, but structure can also be confining, overwhelming. Emperor Augustus knew something about confining structure, about using order to confine people around him. The Gospel of Luke says it this way: "In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their towns to be registered." So Joseph went along. He knew how to play the scales of his day. He knew what the order was, and he was ready to follow right along. The story says that Joseph went to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem. Because he was descended from the house and the family of David. That's a major chord. Did you catch that part? Joseph is descended from the family of David. Like, this is big news, people. Like, how would that sound? David, family. What does that sound like? I think that's closer, because Joseph wasn't just going along. Joseph was Joseph from David's family. You know, the royal family. But then it keeps going. It says that he went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And that feels like another, if you've ever had a child, that feels like another major chord in life. Yes? He's a dad, so he knows that you kind of have to put some of the oomph in that one, because this is big news. The emperor was bringing about order, and Joseph and Mary were following along. They were playing their parts. They were going down the scales. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. I think this is where the author puts in the first pause. Because this was Joseph from David's family. The emperor's family, right? There should be a place for them at the inn. There shouldn't even need to be an inn. There should be the best room in the hospital. Actually, what I think should happen is the midwife should come to them to bear this child, because this is a child who's a king from that lineage. And so I have to just wonder what's starting to happen in this story. I think we have to pause at this particular moment and try to figure out what's going on, because this is a woman who is bearing a child out of wedlock, and she's staying to give birth in the middle of nowhere to a child in a manger. Like, this is really hard to figure out how this is going to in any way be good news to anyone. It's really hard to imagine, because something doesn't make sense in this song. This scale cannot be correct. See, the emperor demanded that they were going to play from low to high. But all of a sudden, it seems like Mary and Joseph are starting to play this song from high to low. This is a young woman who's made her way to the middle of nowhere to give birth to a child that we will come to see as fully divine, Emmanuel. And that, folks, is like playing a scale backwards. That's not what people expected. And so I would think the story would kind of go into that a little bit. I would think Luke's gospel might want to unfold that just for a moment. But instead, the story rushes to another note. It says, "In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." Like, what? We just got Mary's song. Like, the emperor was saying, play it like this. And then she said, no, we're going to play it this other direction. But all of a sudden, the author has us out in the fields with shepherds. I don't know about this. Somebody on Facebook earlier this week wondered about, who are the shepherds of our day? So get an image for yourself of who the shepherds are. These are folks who don't have the decency to settle down. They follow sheep around for a living. They don't pay any respect to people's property or boundaries. Because guess what? The sheep don't notice where those boundary lines are. And the sheep just wander. So that means the shepherds just wander. And so why in the world are we cutting out to these folks? They don't even have the decency to settle down like the rest of us do.
I don't think they'd know a scale if it knocked them over. And that's actually what happens in the story, is they get knocked over. An angel of the Lord stands before them, and the glory of the Lord shines on them, and they're terrified. I bet they were terrified. I bet they were terrified because these are the lowest people on the social hierarchy. These are people that are so low, I don't even know if they make it onto the social hierarchy. These are the people that sociologists leave off at the very bottom. They do not matter. At least they're not supposed to matter. See, I don't think they'd be allowed to learn the music of David's family. I don't think they'd let him sit at the piano. They couldn't be trusted to do that. I don't think they could be trusted, period. And this is what the angel says to them. Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news, great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with them an angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom God favors. I don't know music well enough, but that's like more than a pause. That's more than a pause. I think this is a take five. We're going to actually take five at this moment, because I think the angels cannot have this correct. If we're going to go sing a song to the people about peace coming, surely they meant to sing this song to Emperor Augustus, right? Surely they meant to sing it at least to the people who had the power. No one would trust a group of shepherds who wander around day and night with this news. No one would trust that. See, I think these shepherds, I think these angels might have been more influenced by jazz than by classical music. No offense, Nicole. And I think they might have known Miles more than they knew Mozart, because they were breaking every single rule that everyone had for them. They were turning that order upside down and saying, peace among all of those who God favors. And they were saying it not to the powers that be, but to the lowliest of the lowly out in a field as they wandered around with sheep. That doesn't make any sense. It just does not make any sense. Whose song is this, anyways? When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that's taken place, which the Lord has made known to us. So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. The shepherds get to sing too in this story. In our world today, the shepherds don't get to have much of a voice. We don't hear their song very often. I'm pretty sure that if we were to listen, it would be a song that was played in reverse. I'm positive this was not the song that Emperor Augustus had imagined. They didn't understand the scales that he'd put in place. They were breaking all the rules. They were making everything that made sense fall apart. But Mary treasured all these words that they spoke and pondered them in her heart. See, you can't control Mary's song. See, I think she had practiced her scales. Mary had practiced her scales, and the song that was being born inside of her was something that is completely off the charts. Something waiting within her did not make sense to any chart that had ever been recorded. Her song is about the reversal of the world. She says to those who are on top, like Emperor Augustus, you're going to be brought down, sent away, empty. And she says to those who are on bottom, the shepherds, you'll be filled. You'll have enough, and you'll be lifted up. See, I think Emperor Augustus would have wanted this song banned. I don't know what scale they were trying to play off of, but it was not going to be okay. I'm pretty certain that this song that they were singing, that was in her heart, that she gave birth to, did not follow the rules that any of them had known. So if you're looking for Christmas to make sense, Our story reminds us that there was nothing sensical about what was happening on that day. See, Christmas, as Steve Holmes says it, doesn't make sense. It's about wonder and gifts and redemption, not reasonableness. It's about coming among us, undeserving and unreliable as we are, coming as a vulnerable child whose only power is love. It's an act of unreasonable grace, coming to a poor, unmarried peasant girl, having angels announce his arrival not to the people in power, but to irrelevant shepherds, singing of the glory amidst animal poop and the threat of soldiers, folks. This is not sensible, no matter how you spin it, no matter what song you try to make out of it. It's not logical for God to forgive us without any reason other than loving us. It doesn't make sense for God to come with gentleness that we will meet with violence and love that we'll reject, promising resurrection when it's clearly impossible. All this grace and glory and beauty and tender love for such a troubled people, it just doesn't make sense. But the child comes. And in this child, we have an opportunity to see God's word of love made flesh. So the shepherds, the lowliest of lowly, they returned praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. That's the scale of Christmas. It doesn't make any sense. Yet it's as simple as learning to play a scale and to sprinkle that with all the pauses. It's that simple. It's that profound. And on this night, may we hear the simplicity of that scale, played backwards, sprinkled with pauses. May that good news that's waiting within us be our song. May we, like Mary, have the courage to sing, and may God's song be born in us again this night.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing.